We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
What is going on? Welcome, everybody, to the Thanksgiving week show. Week 12 here at Roto-Grinders of the Prime Points Show. I am Britt Devine, joined by my usual running mate, Graham Barfield. But Mr. CEO of Fantasy Points, Scott Barrett, he has chained Jake to a desk, forcing him to keep typing until his fingers bleed. And Scott, because Jake is in such dire straits, has offered to fill in for him on the show. Scott, what's going on, man? Some fun new tools dropped at Fantasy Points this week we're going to talk about in a little bit. But yeah, dude, happy to have you back on the show filling in.
Yeah, happy to be back. I filled in a couple of weeks back, I think when Graham was sick. And we, of course, did this show together, 3 years ago.
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago, but it also feels like it was not a long time ago.
Right.
Everything
right.
In life feels that way to me, honestly.
Right.
All these years just run together. You do this for long enough. We're blessed to do this for long enough. All these years just run together.
Yeah. I think I got to Roto Grinders in like 2013 or 14. And I wasn't like the OG DFS player, like the Head Choppers and the Notoriouses who started in, they had to be in 2010 or early 11. I came on once online poker went away. I sat around for like a year unknowingly. I didn't know that DFS was even around. And then I found it, I believe, in 2012 for the football season or 2011 for the football season, and somehow have managed to turn it into a fun, successful career playing fantasy football, and now we have sports betting, and it just keeps getting better and better. Graham, what's going on with you, dude?
Not much. Yeah, just grinding through this slate. It's always this is a really fun Thanksgiving slate for what it's worth. We're talking through the full slate. Sunday, there are four games with totals of 36.5 points or below. But the Thanksgiving slate, especially if Geno plays that late game, could be pretty hot. So I'm excited to talk some ball and talk some Thanksgiving ball with you guys today.
If you bet the 49ers like I did, do you want Geno to play at like 80% or do you want Drew Lock slinging it in there? If you bet the 49ers, I think the 49ers are the best team in the league by
both
far right now.
Both options sound great, Britt.
Yeah, both sound good to me. So yeah, let's get into this. And speaking of it, one of my thoughts, first off, the 49ers, I think you can get them close to around, I think it was like 480 plus 500 to win the Super Bowl and get a little shorter odds to win the NFC. They are... I don't know, Graham. They're the only good team in the league right now. After that disappointing Monday night performance with the Chiefs, just it's Patrick Mahomes in a defense, because Travis Kelce, he's done, right? He's marrying the most famous woman in the year next year, or he's going to get a bajillion songs written about him, right? Either way, it seems like he's ready to throw in the towel after the season with some injuries. He dropped some hints on that. We've got just receivers dropping balls left and right, and they basically haven't invested in the wide receiver outside of Travis Kelce because they have Patrick Mahomes, and they're just hanging him out to dry week after week after week, because I guess the front office of Kansas City knows it's Patrick Mahomes, and he's good enough to elevate everybody else to where we can possibly win a Super Bowl every single year because we have him. They spent some money on the defense. But, man, the 49ers, fully healthy. Brock Purdy's recovered from that concussion. Everyone offense is good. They re-upped on the defense. They look like the best team in the league by far to me. I'm expecting them to just come in and put it to Seattle and basically cement themselves as the best team in the league this week. I think it was 6.5. Not enough. I made so many bets. I don't think I have it on the official sheet, but it's up on Scores and Odds. That is one of my favorite bets of the week. But Graham, what basically happened on Monday night here?
Yeah.
Outside of all those drops, the Eagles weren't really doing anything. AJ Brown was a non-factor. Hurts had a misread on that interception where AJ Brown could have had a touchdown if he threw it over everybody. He was breaking free. And after that, he was almost a non-factor. The knee seems to be bothering still a little bit. And on the broadcast, they were saying, the knee, it seems like, they get inside info, right? The knee, it seems like it could be something that bothers him all year. I don't know. I'm sort of downgrading these teams. I'm upping teams. I still think the Ravens are probably one of the better teams in the AFC. I think the Bills could possibly get there. I know it was the Jets, but if their defense can do anything, I think the offense is probably going to start having it figured out. And the NFC is wide open between three teams. I don't know if I'd count the Lions in there.
Yeah,
but I would. I don't know. I'm a little iffy on the Lions, but yeah. I don't know. What's your thoughts on the Chiefs, the Eagles? They're both on the main slate this week.
Yeah, Lions have played some funky games this year. Eagles, man, we got to give it up again for the Chiefs defense. I think we've been saying it on the show all year, but like Chiefs are, you know, obviously legit. Their defense is great. Steve Spagnuolo came in there with a great plan, especially just like disguising blitzes at the line of scrimmage. You know, Chris Jones obviously is awesome, but you know, they have to do a lot of scheme stuff. They did a great job at confusing Hurts. Only the Browns are allowing a lower rate of scores on their possessions this year than the Chiefs defense. And I mean, right now it's like the best part of their team. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the MVP race looks like in like 2 weeks, because Mahomes's counting stats look bad, you know, compared to his standards, but they would look so much better if they just had like competent receiver play. And that's just like the whole problem with Mahomes's counting stats this year. As funny as it is, you know, Jalen Hurts struggled, threw for 150, only really had the one explosive play to Devonta Smith. He still scored 20 fantasy points, getting there with the push. Yeah, man, I think Chiefs will be fine, especially with Kelce, you know, coming through these games, getting healthier. I think they'll be fine offensively, but yeah, I mean, the ceiling is obviously just a lot lower with them, with no good receiver help.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, that game was bad. You want to sort of talk in general just on how bad the end? We're decimated with quarterback injuries. We've got, I don't know, maybe not great coaching. We've got defenses sort of figuring out how to play in the NFL after, 125 years on finally how to stop offenses a little bit. What are some of your thoughts on what's going on this year?
Yeah, I think this season kind of sucks. Like, you heard Tom Brady talk about it earlier in the week, a lot of mediocre football. And I'm really seeing that. It's like a really tough year for season-long fantasy players, especially best ball players. You know, just in round one, Nick Chubb's missed 8 games. He's out the rest of the year. Justin Jefferson, 6 games, probably a couple games more than that. Cooper Kupp missed 4 games. Austin Eckler missed some games, and he still doesn't look right. I don't know if you saw that video from Hayden Winks.
Where he was, I was running faster.
Yeah. That yeah, you got chased down, man. That did not look good.
And so that's a third of your round one right there. And then let's look at all the quarterback injuries: Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Anthony Richardson, Justin Fields, Matthew Stafford, Daniel Jones, Derek Carr, Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo. And when that happens, it's not just like you lose that player, but like every single player on the team takes a significant hit. So what are we seeing around the league from a season long perspective, it's just this is a war of attrition sort of year. Your draft matters significantly less than it typically does. The waiver wire matters significantly more. And then from a DFS perspective, we're seeing, you know, scores down across the industry for sure. But the bigger, more significant takeaway to me is the parity in this league, the lack of parity in this league, rather, how top heavy it is for some teams. The stat I had was, I don't know. I can't pull it up right now, but the top six teams in the league have more 30 plus DraftKings fantasy point games than all other teams combined. And like, that wasn't the case last year. Last year there was a little bit more parity there. And so like from a DFS perspective, I think there's teams we could just totally write off every single week. It's like, okay, yeah, you know, this guy's tempting as his price declines, but you know, he's only going to go off like one out of every 5 weeks. That week isn't going to be one where we could really predict it. And it's going to be like, he's going to beat value, but he's not necessarily going to have a had to have it tournament winning score. And really just with those top six teams I was talking about, we want to be heavily invested in every single week, I think.
Yeah, the chalk is smashing at an alarming rate this year. And I know your article, one of the few things I read every week, Scott, by the way, is the article you put out. I typically browse through it late Saturday night, Sunday morning on cash and tournament plays. I mean, when the chalk smashes, I mean, you get deep in the weeds on some tournament plays, but your article's looking really good this year, because it seems like we're either getting better as DFS players, or the league, like you said, it's just so obvious now because there's so few actual good play callers, good yep. plays, good quarterbacks anymore in the league. What do you think it is? Are we getting better, or is the league sort of making us better because of all of this lack of parity you're talking?
I think it's both. Yeah, last week was crazy. The winning Millie Maker lineup had my top quarterback of the week, my top two running backs of the week, my top three wide receivers of the week, and Khalil Shakir, who I wrote up as a dart throw. I forget which they played. Kincaid. I think they would have been better off if they played
Purdy. Wasn't it Purdy unstacked too?
I love that. Every DFS pro is like, this guy is an idiot. If this were me, I would have donated it all to charity and not told anyone. Like,
yeah. He's got $1 million and we don't.
Yeah, hey, that money. Yeah, exactly. That money counts.
Those are some sour grapes right there. But yeah, like that's the thing. It was a cash lineup that just uncorrelated shipped. Yeah. Of course, by the way, I'm a contrarian player. So like I faded my own optimal and, you know, didn't win $1 million.
I will say last week was like one of the chalkiest DFS slates of the season. I think this week it's only Tuesday and we're thinking about the Thanksgiving games, but like there's going to be a lot of ownership concentrated around just like we're talking about four teams on Sunday.
The running back position, to DFS, the running back, literally you keep scrolling and you want to play. I don't think I've ever seen this deep of a running back slate. There's 14, 15 guys I think you can play in DFS, but we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. One of the things we like to do here is a segment where we take a stand on something. I usually come at it from a sports betting angle, and that is no different this week. I was blown away earlier today. I was perusing through scores and odds, and there's an underdog this week who already absolutely dominated the team they're playing this week. Now they're at home and they're still an underdog. This makes absolutely no sense to me. It's a team that's on the rise. One of my favorite bets of the week. We're going to be playing them in DFS as well. But we'll see if you guys can figure it out by the end of the show. Graham, what's a sort of a stand you're looking at this week?
Sure. Yeah. You were just talking about how great running back is this week. There's one right now that stands out to me as an extremely high ceiling play that I'm really excited to talk to you guys about here in just a few minutes. We talk DFS.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So let's
You're not gonna ask me.
Let's go.
You know what? You are the stand-in, so I didn't know if you were prepared for this. So I was gonna skip over you, but I should have known better, Scott. What's the stand you're willing to take this week?
Yeah, mine is a betting take, which is unique for me because betting is illegal in Texas, so I never have betting takes. Bet of the week by far is Washington Commanders getting 11 points against the Cowboys. I talk about this every single year. over the last 12 years, Dallas is 1-11 against the spread on Thanksgiving. That's not a coincidence. What happens is, like, I don't know, 60% of the country is Cowboy fans and like casual Cowboy fans. And like, they all get the day off on Thanksgiving. They're sitting at home with their family, drinking, watching the games. They want action on it. And so they're betting on their boys. And so like, yeah, I don't feel super confident in the Commanders, but it's every single Thanksgiving when you bet against the Cowboys, you're getting basically like free 2.5 added to the spread in your favor. It looks good to me. I think Commanders can cover 11 points. So hammer that, bet against Dallas on Thanksgiving this year, every year, make it a Thanksgiving tradition.
Yeah, Steve, bring up the screen share. I'm on the fly bringing up your tweet, Scott. I did see you post that a little earlier in the day. So just a very, very long history of not covering -1 game. I was on Washington last week. That was one of my bigger bets. That did not work out. I don't know if I can follow this trend, but we'll be very interested to see what happens on this one. Tommy DeVito slinging it against the Commanders. If he can do it, I do think a lot of people will probably be on the Cowboys. So this little trend is interesting to take a stand on. Before we get into DFS, let me tell you about something cool going on with DFS, and that is the Sims over at RotoGrinders. We have Sim Labs. It's a free beta still currently. You don't have to spend any money on it. There's a nice Discord channel as well if you want to check it out. It's free. You can correlate all your lineups in just a few minutes based on your settings. A fun new tool we've put together with the guys over at Fantasy Labs at Sim Labs. Check it out. Great tool here at RotoGrinders. And maybe you two can end up winning. I don't know. I don't need a million, like 150,000. I'll take that with using the Sim Labs or something like that. Sounds good enough to me. All right, let's talk DFS. And I want to start at quarterback with you guys, because to me, there's one egregiously priced quarterback. But there's also these three guys at the top: Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. So, Graham, I'm going to throw it to you. Based on it's Tuesday, we don't know injuries. We really don't know weather, yada, yada, yada. We go over this basically every week. Would you rather spend, and there's really not a ton of people. We don't have Tyreek Hill. Justin Jefferson isn't in the player pool if he plays. We don't have Christian McCaffrey, right? There's a lot of the players we want to spend money on. They aren't available this week. So in theory, we might have money to spend a quarterback. Is it Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts? I think I'm a little sour on Mahomes, even at Las Vegas. I don't know about that. It would probably be Hurts or Josh Allen. I think I'd lean Josh Allen at this point. Just you can really pass against Philadelphia. In theory, that's what I would do. Or Gardner Minshew against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is 5,100. Makes absolutely no sense. Off a bye at home in a dome against Tampa, who can't stop anybody through the air. Big decision. You spend it up on the big name. You're rolling with Gardner. The pricing on Gardner just seems absolutely egregious to me.
Yeah, Gardner's going to pop in all the sims and optimizers probably by the end of the week. 5,100 is just it's a little too low for him. I'm with you on Mahomes. You know, we just talked about that a second ago. In general, he's just been, you know, lower ceiling than usual. His really one big boom game came against the Chargers. He scored 38 in that game. You know, other than that, man, it's been, you know, between 18 and 19, he's had a game of, you know, 25. For that reason, that probably makes Mahomes one of the better tournament plays in between, sandwiching between Allen and Hurts. Again, it's just Tuesday. To me, the answer is always Hurts at the top. Scott, you and I were on Jalen Hurts as the clear QB1 coming into the season. We were absolutely right about that. Had him at QB1 ahead of Mahomes, ahead of Allen, and wasn't even really close. And I think this week you can make kind of the same argument. You know, Bill's defense is playing really well. Sean McDermott, I still think, is a good defensive coach, but they've messed so, you know, they've missing so many guys. Eagles offensive line is still, you know, playing extremely well. They did give up some sacks. I'm going to be on Hurts this week at the top. But I'm with you. I think Minshew stands out, and I think Kyler stands out too. Is still too cheap at 6,900, just given his rushing upside. And that game obviously has some shootout potential. But yeah, Kyler 6,900, and I think Hurts at the top for me.
Yeah, Scott, what games are you looking at this week from a DFS perspective? You write constantly. You are in the weeds, literally 24/7, looking at statistics. What's standing out to you?
Yeah, obviously, Houston, Jacksonville every single week. You want to be looking at that. I do think Buffalo, Philly is going to be really interesting. Certainly more exciting than Philly, Kansas City was. You know, by schedule adjusted fantasy points per game allowed, one of our best stats we have on the site, Philadelphia is a bottom three defense. So like what Mahomes did, I view as an indictment on him and that offense. Mahomes has just two passing touchdowns outside of the red zone this year versus seven interceptions. It's been bad. And I think it's just, you know, not having anyone besides Kelsey, who Philadelphia doubled and triple teamed all day. And I could see Josh Allen taking advantage of that. So I think that's going to be an exciting game. What else is on the main slate? Indianapolis.
That game's hot. Like that was one game that kind of stuck out to me when I was doing my pace and play model. Colts Bucks. Saints Falcons kind of pops too, honestly.
Yeah, well, you'll hear from more from me on this Colts Buccaneers in a later segment for sure. This is nice. Multiple ways one of my favorite games of the week currently right now from a sports betting angle. I want to go to running back. So let's talk about the guy you're taking your stand on this week, Graham. I believe that's Derrick Henry, correct here? And I know Scott has been tweeting on this too. Whenever Derrick Henry and the Titans can win, which if there's ever a game the Titans can win, they've been. I mean, did you have the tweet, Scott, where Will Levis played amazing and they still just get absolutely blasted in the game score? But like, can the Titans keep pace here and beat Carolina? It's like the dumpster ball here.
Yeah, all they have to do is just give Derrick Henry the ball every single play, and that's exactly what they're going to do against this top run funnel defense. Most game script dependent player in fantasy. This one's just easy. Also, a good stat for you is Derrick Henry throughout his career averages, I don't know, 4.2 yards per carry before Thanksgiving and then like 5.5 yards per carry after Thanksgiving. So we're getting into that cold weather territory where Henry thrives.
That's December, or does that include like right after?
That includes late November. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he's roided up on the turkeys and mashed potatoes and the stuffing.
Yeah. Yeah, Graham, you love Henry. What are you looking at this week?
Yeah, 6,400 for Henry. He's, you know, his price is just completely cratered over on DK. He was, you know, in the mid sevens all year. Now he's down to 6,400. And Titans are 3.5-point favorites against Carolina. It's the first time they've been favored in a long, long time. Panthers are giving up the most goal line carries per game. Just massive, massive touchdown equity for Henry in this spot. I think he's going to be really popular just because he's so obvious. But yeah, I mean, this whole pocket, really the whole like sub 6K range, starting with JT Swift, like that whole pocket's
the, you know, whole range. I mean,
really nice.
Kamara being the most expensive back is probably not how I would do the pricing, but you can, you know, you can make a case, but with Jameis playing a quarterback, probably not. But literally everybody else, I mean, Saquon against New England, why can't he do what he did last week, right? Why can't he be the only player that can really move the football, that can score points? He's basically the only offensive weapon they have. ETN, I know they said Force comes out after the game that they're conscious of the workload he's received and they're looking to maybe limit his touches. Not what we want in daily fantasy or in sports betting, but against Houston, that looks pretty good. Jonathan Taylor, tough run matchup against Tampa, but I mean, he's Jonathan Taylor. DeAndre Swift against Buffalo. Yeah. Josh Jacobs. I mean, we saw what DeAndre Swift was able to do. The Raiders probably not able to keep pace the whole game. And we saw that maybe limit Jacobs a little bit last week.
Yeah, but if that spread though has come towards the Raiders here, though, it opened 9.5 Chiefs.
I would think so too. After that performance the Chiefs had, I think people are on the Chiefs. The Chiefs are very fraudulent this year. If you ask me, you've got Kyren coming back. He's, you know, they cut Daryl Henderson. He's probably going to come back into, I would expect, almost a full workload against Arizona. You got Bijan off a bye. Your boy Derrick Henry. And this, like, you can just keep going. Rashad White against Indianapolis. Devin Singletary, if he gets all the work. James Conner's back. Javonte Williams, probably not so much against Cleveland, but you never know. Jerome Ford, Jaylen Warren. You just, literally, you can make a case for almost every running back. And I've never it hasn't been like this all year. We've been like, we need one running back or two running backs to play this year, or at least this week. To me, it's like 10 to 15 tournaments going to be extremely spread out. I would not expect Henry to garner more than 15% in large field tournaments this week.
I think he'll probably be capped at like 25-ish% for all the reasons you're outlining. But yeah, I think he'll probably end up being one of the top three. Yeah, this is just such a good week at running back. This will be a good week for running back in the flex too, back in the flex.
Yeah, definitely three running backs. And then receivers, if you had to pick one, A.J. Brown against Buffalo coming off the bad game. Stephon Diggs, also a bad game. That was against the Jets and Sauce. I can maybe understand that. But against the pass defense in Philadelphia, I'd probably lean Diggs at this point, right?
It is a good spot for Diggs. I mean, this is such a good get right spot. Not only, you know, facing the Jets last week, you know, he was up against Patrick Surtain for, not the majority of his routes, but a good amount of his routes against the Broncos a couple weeks ago too. Obviously such a good spot for him. I mean, AJ Brown's ceiling is just ridiculous though. I mean, they're obviously going to get him right after one catch performance. So I think Brown's ceiling projects better for sure, but you could definitely make a case for Diggs, you know, right behind him, maybe like a point behind Brown, not too far.
Yeah, Scott, I see you want to jump in here. What did you want to say?
No, I don't. I don't.
Oh, you don't? No, it looked like you wanted to jump in and say something.
I think it's tough. I don't know that there necessarily is a wide receiver to pay up for. I think you nailed it though. It's either Diggs or AJ Brown. I do worry about Diggs, especially the last few games. He's averaging 6.6 fantasy points per game. He was at like 21.7 before that. And I'm just thinking about what our sources told us, Graham, hashtag sources, shout out sources, that Joe Brady is kind of not well respected in league circles. Yeah. And the main reason why is his inability to scheme guys open. But I mean, this is a bad secondary and Diggs is good enough where it might not matter at all. And then with AJ Brown, it's just, I don't think there's anything to this. I don't think this is real, but like, I have to mention it is just, Devonta Smith is outscoring him better yards per route run over the last two seasons in games without Dallas Goedert. And it just worries me about that, you know, the Calvin Ridley, Zay Jones splits where Doug Peterson was stupidly forcing Calvin Ridley into the clear out Zay Jones role when Zay Jones was out. I don't think that's real though. I mean, prior to last week, the guy had, you know, 125 yards and a touchdown and, you know, seven of his prior eight games, something like that. So
I will say
he's probably the guy. Yeah.
I will say there might be something to it though, just in terms of how the Eagles have to play, right? Like, they don't have somebody that can take underneath zone coverage away, right? That's Goddard, you know, so that would allow AJ Brown to get on top of defenses. So, you know, watching that game last night, Chiefs play a ton of too high. That's just what they do. They just sat back in too high last night and were just like, okay, we'll bracket AJ Brown. You don't have anybody to beat us over the middle. It was Devonta Smith. You know, he was the only guy who kind of went over the middle in that game. There's probably something to that. But man, I mean, one catch. They're gonna funnel the ball to AJ Brown this coming week here.
When you had I had Devonta Smith, I hit the regular prop, but I had him to 100. I had him at 100.
Oh
plus,
no,
plus
did you?
And I had him to score the touchdown. So about just getting totally. I mean, it was a good night because somehow the sports books gave me plus 155 on Hurts to score a touchdown, which was absolutely ridiculous. Yeah,
I followed you on that. And I also had Devonta Smith over 56.5.
The 100 and the touchdown I had too, was brutal on that one. Let's hope on that one. What do we think of if Cooper Kupp's out, can Puka's reasonably priced?
Yeah.
Do we think he's dinged up too? And Matt Stafford, I don't know. He's like, it might be time to take him out to the Bard and put him down as an NFL quarterback, especially without Kupp. Is he going to be able to do it and get it to Puka? If it doesn't happen, if Kupp's out and Stafford can't get Puka the ball, I think it's time for Stafford's done after that. If he can't,
Stafford, man, he's so tough. Plays through so many injuries, but yeah, 7,600 for Puka is going to be a great price. I don't think Kupp will play. He's got a low ankle sprain, according to our guy Edwin Porras. But I mean, this is another injury for him this season. They'll probably play it safe with him. You know, Nacua took the last drive to get there, but he got 570-1. With Stafford last game. So yeah, I think Puka will probably end up being one of the better plays of like the non AJB and Diggs guys at the top.
I love the CD Carter Twitter. It's the unconfirmed the lowest ankle sprain in history, according to all the sources.
It's so low, it's like underneath his foot. You can't even see it.
That's just funny. We'll have to see. Wide receivers, I think, is wide open. Do you have anything? I don't know. Maybe we'll get into the tools in a little bit, guys. But maybe we can talk about Jacksonville in a little bit against Houston, which wide receiver we might want to use.
Yeah.
We'll save that for a couple minutes from now.
I'm getting excited about this sub 7K range. You got both Houston wide receivers. Where's my guy Noah Brown at? Let's not sleep on.
He's like 4,500. I was already or like 44, 45. Yeah.
He led the team in receiving yards in each of his last three games, ranked top two among all wide receivers in each of his last two games. Go back to that 7K range. So you got all three Houston wide receivers are in play. I'm going to have some CJ Stroud stacks for sure. And in this sub 7K range, there's Michael Pittman, who the last time we saw him on the field led the league in target share. His splits with and without Gardner Minshew are insane. And remember, we like Minshew. We want to be starting Minshew. So in Minshew's six starts, Pittman's averaging 10 targets per game, 17 fantasy points per game. Those numbers would rank eighth and 12th best. So really strong value there on this short slate. Let's also not forget about Chris Olave, especially if Derek Carr doesn't suit up. He's still in the concussion protocol. In just two quarters with Jameis Winston, Olave saw 9 targets, 94 yards. With Olave, he was averaging 4.1 targets, 20.7 receiving yards per half. So that's significant to me. There's definitely some other names I've written up who pop for me.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mike Evans, I mean, he led all wide receivers in XFP last week, or he ranked second. Adam Thielen, too, a new season high in target share. The volume's been there. He's just had bottom 10 matchups in four or five straight games. I think that's what caused, you know, the major downturn in production rather than the play caller change. That and the fact that, like, natural regression, because he's not that good. But he gets a neutral matchup this week. So I think all these are interesting. I think you started it off with a really good question, and Calvin Ridley we'll talk about. You started off with a really good question. It's like AJ Brown or, and it's like, yeah, maybe it's multiple sub 7K guys versus AJ Brown. I don't know. That's tough. When in reality, you know, AJ Brown just probably buries everyone. That's probably how
he's pretty good at football.
36.
Sorry. Back to AJ Brown. This is what I wanted to ask you about, Graham. Are you noticing anything with the way he's running his routes? Because over the last two seasons, AJ Brown leads the league in yards per route run when his quarterback is not pressured. When his quarterback is pressured, he ranks dead last among all receivers in yards per route run. Hmm. So I'm guessing it's just like he's primarily this deep threat where he needs time to get those to develop. And if, you know, Hurts is sensing the pressure, it's just quick dump offs or underneath stuff to.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, I think you nailed it in terms of just like how Hurts reads it. You know, Hurts is the first, or Brown's the first read, but you know, if you're getting pressure in your face, you're immediately, you know, he's going to look to run or he's going to dump it off. And they finally have a good dump off option in Swift too. They schemed him up for a few targets too in that game. So yeah, I think so
that's another reason to be a little nervous then, because Buffalo's defense, they rank top 7 in average time to throw allowed, top 5 in pressure rate over expectations.
Yeah, so their pass rush is good still. Yeah.
All right, so there's a couple early week DFS thoughts as the week goes on. There's plenty of content here on RotoGrinders. Don't forget for the Thanksgiving slate. We're sort of glossing over it, so there's a lot of people that watch us later and get the podcast a little bit later in the week.
Read Jake Tribby's article.
If he's ever done, if his fingers are done bleeding on the keyboard, go check that out on Fantasy Points. Speaking of Fantasy Points, we've been going over all year long the cut. Hey, defenses play man, defenses play zone. They play one high. They play too high. It looks like you guys finally put something together.
Let me see about
the wide receivers, and it's free this week. So if you wanted to mess around on Fantasy Points, you can get the wide receiver coverage matchup chart. It's free. Go over into the data tools and you can find it. We've got Scott here. He's going to walk us through what we're looking at. All I'm looking at, we keep talking Calvin Ridley, and he's popping as the highest positive coverage grade. Scott, I see that. What am I looking at here with Calvin Ridley?
Yeah. So shout out to us. Shout out to Fantasy Points. You know, when we launched Fantasy Points data, I wanted to revolutionize the game. And that is exactly what we're doing here. No one else has this. I don't know that anyone else has ever thought of this. And here it exists. And I'm so proud and excited and happy to demo it for you guys. But basically, so there are what I refer to as like on paper matchups, defensive matchups. Obviously, the Jets have a really good secondary. For that, I would look at our tool, schedule adjusted fantasy points per game allowed. I think that's the best tool or anything to look at that. Use this in conjunction with that. However, it's which receivers have the best schematic matchups. We all know that Brandon Ayuk now is a beast against man and a beast against zone, but Deebo Samuel is significantly better against zone than he is man. Ayuk is twice as good as Deebo in man. At zone, they're about even. And that's true of so many different receivers in terms of how they're being used. And what this does is it looks at the coverage shells a receiver is most efficient against, and it contrasts that against the opposing defense and how often they're going to be seeing these coverage shells. And so the way I'm using it, and the way I've used it for a few weeks now to great success, that's really helped me break ties or pick the right stacks for DFS, is just sorting by coverage grade. You're doing that here. Calvin Ridley, best match of the week. He had one of the top five best matchups last week as well. Sort by expected fantasy points per route run. What this is telling you is, you know, based on their typical fantasy points per route run, baking in the coverage shells, what should we expect? Tyreek Hill should be number one. But look at that. Look at that. Jaylen Waddle, 4, big surprise. Top left, Britt, what I would do here is I would type in the Dolphins right there into that little search bar, or Miami. You already know how to use it. All right. Okay. And what are we seeing here? We're seeing a below average matchup for Tyreek Hill worth 10% off of his typical fantasy points for route run. Meanwhile, Jaylen Waddle gets a 30% boost. That's incredible. And so is he going to go off this week? Waddle's volume has been amazing. Like we've been waiting for a positive regression game since week 2. He ranks 2nd behind only Tyreek Hill in expected fantasy points per route run. Is this the week? I don't know. Again, you have to look at it in conjunction with our matchup tool. Jets are a brutal matchup for any wide receiver. But if who would I rather play, you know, if like large field tournament, for sure Waddle at lower ownership in a matchup that perfectly suits his skill set. Tyreek Hill is a god against man. Waddle historically much better against zone. So I like that. And then let's go back to the Jaguars. You know, maybe it's the case that Trevor Lawrence has this terrific matchup. Search bar Jaguars. Yeah. So let's see. Yeah, 33% boost. Meanwhile, only very slightly boost for Christian Kirk and Evan Engram. Clearly, you want to do a mini stack from that game. Calvin Ridley, I think, is the guy to target.
Yeah, just an interesting tool. The people have been asking for it. So what this is doing is it's taking what the defense, just so me being a peon, this is what the defense plays, zone, man, and their scheme is matching it up versus what the wide receiver does and giving something easy to read for people like me, correct?
Yeah, it's a little more comprehensive than just man or zone. It's cover zero, cover one, cover two, mm-hmm. Cover three man, cover four, cover six, and using that to spit out like how well this schematic matchup fits this wide receiver's skill set.
Yeah, this is great. I'm not in the sheets. I need to be in the tools, right? So I don't have the spreadsheets. I need the tools to be made for me. So Graham, is there anything sticking out? I could just sort of let me back out from the whole slate, sort by coverage grade. You do have to read like George Pickens against Cincinnati, right? Who like I don't know. Is that what I want to do? They did fire Matt Canada. Finally, we'll have to see how it plays out.
But so maybe you should pivot to the quarterback version of this because you see George Pickens at two, but you also see Deontay Johnson in the top 10. And yeah, so, look at that. If there was ever a week to play Kenny Pickett, it's this great schematic matchup.
Oh my goodness.
Plus no Matt Canada, finally.
So Scott, what's the difference going from receiver to quarterback? Just explain what am I looking at and how is this different than maybe from the wide receivers?
Yeah, the only difference is we're looking at fantasy points per dropback instead of fantasy points per route run. Although I'm seeing zeros, so I got to yell at some of our guys behind the scenes for missing that.
All right. So, yeah, just very interesting. There's a couple notes on top. Take note. You want the bigger the sample, the better on something like this. So maybe Tommy DeVito with a big positive matchup. We'll have to see if he can run it back against New England. But, again, not a lot of snaps for him. Just nice to see you finally put this together. I know people in our YouTube, when we've been doing the shows, have been asking for it. I know you're in there. I'm sure everyone has been emailing your support. Hey, can you make something easier for us to read? We finally have it. And it's free for this week for everybody to go in and check it out. A great tool. It's really nice to have people who want the fantasy community to elevate, right, to make the tools and have then the smart people behind the scenes to be able to do that. So I appreciate you putting this together for everybody, Scott. Graham, anything you want to add? Any specific matchup? Any other tool you want to look at here? Or you want to get into some sports bets?
Yeah, no, I think Scott pretty much nailed it. The Ridley call was great last week. Scott was all over Ridley on our show for all the same reasons he was outlining with these tools. I will say Ridley's kind of been their zone beater, and Texans are very, very zone heavy. So that, just kind of aligns with what we're seeing in the tools. It's incredible, Scott, like just looking back at last year, I mean, to think all of this is now on the site and it looks as great as it does. Just massive, massive for the community and for fantasy points data for sure.
Yeah. We got way more subs than we expected, and we're just reinvesting that back in the product. I think next season it's going to be even crazier and more mind blowing than it is right now. And already I think we have the best data product on the market by far. The only thing comparable is, products that other fantasy websites are paying $25,000 a year for. And honestly, I think this is better than that. Like, I think we just have the sickest product ever. Going to help you make you a better DFS player.
Yeah.
Assuming you are like a data loving stats loving nerd like I am. If not, just just watch our videos, read our content, and
I need the dark green coloring, Scott. That's what I need. If I understand what's going on, I think the average person will
understand. Awesome. Additional
formatting. There we go.
All right. So go check out the tools. It's free on the Fantasy Points data set. I encourage everybody to do that. So let's get into the sports betting. So you guys are talking all this Calvin Ridley, but I got to be honest, this line, Houston's an underdog here. And last I checked, let me see. I've got so many bets up on scores and odds already. It's plus 110 right now on the money line for Houston. And they absolutely smoked Jacksonville 37-17 earlier in the year. And what does it take for Trevor Lawrence to finally have his first ever big game, right? It's a game against Tennessee. I don't know. Is CJ Stroud is a better quarterback to me than Trevor Lawrence. Is anyone in disagreement with that? Like, I'm fairly, you don't think, you think Trevor Lawrence can still beat out CJ Stroud?
No,
I'm a Trevor Lawrence hater. That's on record.
I'm wearing a Jags hat, and I'm saying that CJ Stroud is already better than Trevor Lawrence.
Stroud looks amazing in basically all aspects, and he is slinging it 300+ three straight games, one of them for 470. And I don't know, you can beat the Jags through the air, and that's what CJ Stroud is. Imagine if Noah Brown comes back. This is an unstoppable force, this Houston Texans pass offense, and I think they're leaning into the pass even more because they've realized, hey, we've got these receivers that CJ Stroud can get the ball to. I don't know. Is Tank Dell really amazing? Is CJ Stroud elevating it? Are they amazing together? Are they both great? Who really knows? But it's working week after week after week. And I don't think the Texans should be a home dog at all to Jacksonville. You can still bet the Texans to win the division at like +240. And sneakily, it's probably not going to happen. The Colts aren't very far behind. All three of these teams have absolutely like the easiest schedules in history. The Colts are like +2400 or something like that to win the division. They're two games behind Jacksonville. But if Houston wins and then the Colts win, which we'll get to in just a second, like they're right behind. Like this is a mess here. I think either one of those would be the bets I'd want to make to win that division over the Jags. And I think it starts with Houston, maybe not winning 37-17, but absolutely love the Texans this week. And the other one I'm on is the Colts. I got this at -1.5, I believe. It's bet up to 2.5. I would take this to 3. This one's pretty simple. The Buccaneers, they're in Tampa. They fly out to San Francisco. That's all the way across the country. They got to play the 49ers. Then they got to fly back to Tampa for a couple of days, practice. Then they got to go to Indianapolis. This is late in the season, and Indianapolis is off a bye. They've just been chilling, and they're at home. This is one of the biggest travel rest advantages I think I've seen all season. I got it at 1.5. It's up to 2.5. This thing's going to go to 3. I would bet it 2-3, no question. I think the Colts are the better team by far. I think their offense is better. They have better skill position players. I think Gardner Minshew is better than Baker Mayfield. I think Michael Pittman, maybe Mike Evans is a future Hall of Famer. He's still pretty good, but Pittman's also pretty good. I don't know. I'm on the Colts big time this week. And a side bet, this isn't an official bet, but I do like the over in this game as well. 43.5 in a dome for these two offenses against their defenses. 43.5, this game's going over. So there's a couple bets I'm on. I've got a few more, but I'll let Graham do some talking while I catch my breath.
Mike Evans isn't in the Hall of Famer.
No, he's not.
He's definitely going to be a first ballot
Hall. He's the Hall of Very Good. He never a transcendent player, just consistently good, not great. That's my take.
Does that not matter for something though? Like that consistency, the 1,000 yards every year. I think it does.
I don't think so. Arbitrary benchmark. When did he lead the league in yards or even top three? I don't think ever.
Yeah, but there's something to be said for like, okay, you're not the best receiver in the game every year, but you're like always the eighth best.
He's never had 25 yards against Marshawn Lattimore in 15 games. So if he's a Hall of Famer, Marshawn Lattimore deserves his own Hall of Fame.
I understand your point, but there's no doubt Mike Evans will be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
No. My take is Eli Manning is an easy first ballot Hall of Famer, but
he will be. But I would disagree. I would say Eli Manning is not over Mike Evans personally, but Eli Manning has won a couple of Super Bowls.
Right.
Mike Evans has one too, but that was with Tom Brady. So anyway, a couple of bets I had. Graham, what are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I love that Colts 1.5. I would take Colts over team total too. That Colts games in general, just at home, have just been an absolute track meets. I mean, all those games have, I think all but one have scored 50 or more points at home. And the one game that didn't was against the Titans. And that's because it's the Titans. They play slow. They play sluggish. They run the ball a ton. I think Colts Bucks. I think I mentioned it in the DFS stream too. I like that game probably to go under own for DFS. I've got two props. I'm on one for actually both for the Thanksgiving slate. I'm parlaying Dak over 250 with CeeDee Lamb going for 80. You can get that at minus 115 at FanDuel. And obviously, you know, you can just play that straight at minus 115 to just, you know, how you play a normal prop. You can also just add to it. I mean, Washington's defense has just gotten absolutely unloaded on the last couple of weeks. It's just absolutely bananas. Last eight games are giving up like 292 yards per game. Dallas is extremely pass heavy out of the bye, passing at an 11% pass rate over expectation in their last four games. And that's really only rivaled by the Chiefs and Commanders. And CeeDee Lamb is just white hot right now. Commanders just don't have anybody that can potentially guard him. So I like them quite a bit. I'd have that price, that 250 and 80 price closer to like minus 140. So love that over on FanDuel. And then Geno Smith under 245 and a half is out there on PointsBet at minus 115. I took that a few seconds before the show, actually. I'll give it out in Discord here in a little bit. He's injured. The Niners look great out of the bye. Their defense looks fantastic. Getting Chase Young is kind of unlocked. Nick Bosa. They have nine sacks against Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield over the last 2 weeks. They're giving up just 5.7 yards per attempt, forcing a 46% pressure rate. Again, short week. Geno's beat up. You're on Niners. I mean, I think that makes sense, and I'm going to take some Geno unders. 245 and a half was a wildly high lie to me.
All right. I was going to look at – I had a Tyreek Hill touchdown. I got it at plus 115. On Caesars. It's up to minus 110 now. I think that's, I would probably not bet it at that one. So I did have that one. They move these lines. Can't be me moving them and a couple of people following me on scores and odds, but Tyreek Hill should not have been plus 115 to score a touchdown to begin with. Maybe they just smartened up. So we'll pivot. I got a Lions Texans 6-point teaser. So I like the Texans straight up. Why not do the Wong teaser, get them to plus 7.5. You take the Lions from 7.5 down to basically winning the game. I'm not a believer. I mean, the Packers, Jordan Love's playing a little bit better, and the Lions' pass defense is pretty questionable. But the Lions are many, many, many tiers above Green Bay in terms of total talent. So that's a nice little teaser. And a side note, teasers, just play them on DraftKings. It seems like they're the only book that actually gives you the specific odds you should be getting for them. Everyone else kind of juices them much higher than they should be. So DraftKings, you can get those at minus 120, 6-point teaser. With the Lions and Texans. And I think that's going to be it. So Colts, -2.5 or the money line. You can take the over 43.5 in that game as well. We got the Texans money line, and we've got the Lions Texans 6-point teaser for me. What I think we need to do, Graham, is we need to move Scott up north a little bit to like Tennessee or something so he can participate in all the fun that we're having, right?
Don't worry. I'm in his DMs and Discord like weekly trying to get him to move to Colorado. So, yeah.
Colorado does seem like a nice place for Scott to live, right? That seems like where Scott belongs.
Yeah.
In the winter time, though, I don't know.
Yeah, it's getting cold, man. It's chilly tonight. You would kill on player props though, Scott. You really would.
Yeah. Yeah, Scott, you got to enjoy it. I understand.
They'll get there.
I'll buy a vacation home. I'll fly out once a week.
Yeah. There you go. After all the subs come running in for the tools of fantasy points, you can just retire like Travis Kelce is going to after the season. Mm-hmm. All right, a couple fantasy pick-ems to get us off here. So Underdog, I want to make sure this is still current because all the sports books had this number much higher. So let me just flop into Underdog and make sure Jordan Love is still sitting at 227 pass yards. So I'm not a believer in him, but yeah, he's going to go over that for sure against the Lions. A big pass funnel. You see Justin Fields able to do it. You can think it's over 19.5 completions too on Underdog. I think that's a great one. And I'm on also sticking with it in the same game. Jahmyr Gibbs, I know a bunch of people on Scores and Odds have written this up, but the over 27.5 receiving yards for him looks like a prop that I think everybody's going to be on, whether you're on a sports book or you're playing fantasy pick'em. So put those two together on Underdog. It looks like those are the best numbers I can find on that one. Graham, anything sticking out to you in the fantasy pick'em streets?
Yeah, not much, really. It's pretty tight right now. Yeah. Honestly, not much either for the Thursday night games. I like that Gibbs call, though. I think you can get his receptions. I was looking at this earlier, maybe 3.5.
It's 3.5 for sure. I can at 4.5. It probably, let's see. Gibbs is, I'm looking at Underdog right now. Yeah, it's not on Underdog right now. I like his rushing plus receiving, 79.5. His receiving's up to 28.5. I think a lot of people are using that either on the sports books or on fantasy pick'em. But yeah, just a lot of involvement from him. And somehow, I bet both Lions running backs at plus money to get a touchdown. My idea was one of them is definitely going to get in the end zone.
Yeah.
And then they both hit. So that was a great week trying to get that one. These guys, the sports books, I don't know what they do. So they don't make a lot of sense to me sometimes. I don't know. Maybe I should run a sports book in my own mind, but I'm sure I would set a bajillion lines off from what they do. And they're the ones that have the big casinos, and I do not. So maybe I'll just stay doing what I'm doing. I'm just rambling about some of the lines
on sports. I will say for pick'ems on the Thursday games, I do like Dak, Lamb. I would add Brandon Cooks to that too. I've never touted Brandon Cooks this entire year, but I mean the matchup is just so good. Washington's so bad. So in that game, you could take, you know, Lamb, Dak, Cooks overs.
Yeah, Dak's 278 on underdog, and CD's at 89.5. And we've got Mr. Brandon Cooks, who is finally 36.5 for his involvement that he's had. That seems a little too low.
Yeah, Cooks is fine. That's one guy who kind of stood out to me a little bit, but I'm not excited about taking Brandon
Cooks. This is sort of off the cuff to either of you. What's your favorite? I'm waiting. It looks like all the sports books and fantasy pick'em sites, they're all cowards. None of them have the full allotment of Packers receivers to choose from. Does anyone have a favorite of
Jaden
their Packers Reed. Wide receivers right now?
Yeah, Jaden Reed, for sure. They're not going to have Dontavian Wicks or Luke Musgrave in that game. Lions have been a slot funnel. They're giving up the fourth most fantasy points per game to the slot receivers. So, Watson's coverage, Jaden Reed. Watson's schematic matchup is good, though, I will say. But he has like three or fewer receptions in every single game. It's been rough for Watson this year.
Would you take Reed too, Scott?
Yeah, I'm with Graham.
All right, so I think that's going to do it for the Prime Points show. We'll be back again. Hopefully, I'm planning on gaining at least 5 pounds by the time our next show runs through. We will have a couple of days. We'll have like 4 or 5 days to digest, but I'm going to carry that with me. I'm not going to stop eating. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish, Graham, off the top of your head? What's your go-to, the one thing you got to have when you're having a Thanksgiving dinner?
I'm always a sweets guy. I'm always like into the apple pies or pumpkin pies. So I always look forward to the desserts more than the food itself. But I'm a traditional guy. Turkeys, mashed potatoes, gravy.
All right, I can get behind the sweets. Scott, how about you?
Cornbread.
Good call.
I like the cornbread. I'll go. So I love like absolutely love stovetop stuffing. This is like I'm slumming it. No, I don't need the homemade. Give me the stovetop. And then mac and cheese is always good for me. Do you do breadcrumbs or no breadcrumbs on the mac and cheese? Breadcrumbs for me for sure.
Breadcrumbs on top is elite. That's elite tier. You got to get at least three cheeses in there though.
Yeah. I do two cheddars, but then I cover your ears. I mix in Velveeta too because it's delicious.
No, perfectly fine. No, Velveeta is awesome. Yeah, anybody who had some Velveeta can get out of here.
Any final thoughts, Scott? I see. Are you just like, are you done? Do you?
I made a $70 mac and cheese. Like I was just bored one day in the off season. I just went all out getting like highest quality cheeses, like 12 different cheeses, whatever it was. And I was super excited. I spent all day making it. And then my girlfriend had like 12 bites. And then she was in the bathroom for the rest of the day. She's lactose intolerant. We both forgot she was. I ate it. And then I'm just, you know, like, I don't know. I'm a big protein guy. I need a protein with it. And so we ended up tossing it after that. But that was a fun time. Yeah, that was
$70
mac and cheese.
Not well spent on that
one. Yeah, Scott. No.
All right. I hope everyone out there has a happy Thanksgiving. Stay tuned for RotoGrinders for the rest of the week. You'll have some Thanksgiving content for the 3-game slate along with everything else over the weekend. Don't forget to check out over on Fantasy Points. All those tools we were talking about, they are free for this week if you want to poke around. And if you wanted to stay around, one of the cheapest subscriptions you can get in the industry that is 100% going to make you a better daily fantasy player or a sports better.
Oh, we're 80% off right now.
Keeps getting better for a black. Is that a Black Friday sale?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Where was there a code? Where can someone?
No code needed. Applied automatically.
All right. Perfect. That's how it should be. All right. Thanks to Scott for filling in for Jake. Hopefully his fingers are going to be good for next week's show. Graham, it's been fun. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. And we out.